Amen. Thank you, Paul and Bethany. They make beautiful music together, don't they? Amen. Proverbs 27, Proverbs chapter 27, one verse tonight. You say, wow, one verse should be real short. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You just never know about these things. Proverbs 27, verse 8, our text for tonight. The Bible says, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Father, we need you tonight. Help us to understand this verse, apply it to our lives, and be different because of it. I pray that we would get more settled in our convictions, our contentment, our commitments. I pray that we would be careful at how the devil wants us to wander from those things that we know to be true, those things that we know to be right, those things that we once embraced. And I pray that you'll bless the preaching and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about a man that wandereth from his place. Is this on? All right, good. A man that wandereth from his place. In case I wander away, I need to make sure the microphone works. Amen. But A man that wandereth from his place. And here there's a comparison made between a bird and a man. The Bible says, as a bird, so is a man. And so whatever happens to the bird is going to happen to the man. The result of the bird wandering is going to be the result of the man wandering. And we might say, as we're watching all this, what in the world is that bird doing? Right? And hopefully, as we think about what that bird's doing, it might get attention of those who are doing the same. Because as the bird wanders, and the result of the bird wandering is the same result of the man that wanders from his place. And I hope that tonight we'll get the attention of each of us who needs to be careful that we not wander from our place. You know, the bird wanders and the bird abandons their nest with their eggs and with their young. And that nest is their home. That nest is their security. And that is no different than a man that wanders from his place. Last week I preached on winning on the winning side. And one of the points that I gave in that message was conviction. Now, conviction will help you not to wander. Amen? I mean, conviction will help you. I gave the illustration, and I did again this morning in Sunday school, about being tossed to and fro. And the Bible warns about us not being tossed by all the different beliefs and all the different doctrines and all the different things that pull on us and the waves that beat us. We are not to be tossed here and there. We're to be, and we gave the illustration of the boat that was stuck in the ground and rooted, the Bible uses that word, and planted in Psalm 1. And we're to be planted so that we have conviction, so we know what we believe. And we believe what we know, and we know it's in the Word of God, and we're convicted. We know what and why we believe what we believe. We're convicted. Now, that is going to protect you from some wandering. It's going to help you to do right. We tell young people all the time, hey, learn your Bible and find out why you believe what you believe. You need to be convicted about things. Conviction will save us many times from wandering. Actually, there's 3 points in the introduction. The first one is conviction. The second point in the introduction is the word contentment, because contentment will also help us to not wander away from the things of God. Conviction, of course, it is what we believe, knowing what and why we believe what we believe. I talked about it last week. But then there's contentment. Look at Philippians 4, verse 11. Keep your place in Proverbs. And really, tonight, you do need to listen on purpose, because I think some things will help you if you will listen on purpose. Paul said in Philippians 4, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. When we lived in Louisiana, we claimed this verse. Because Louisiana was different. But anyway, that isn't what it's talking about. Not state as in geography, although that could apply. But it's talking about here as far as our contentment is our condition. We find out that our condition is how we are to be content with that. That's what it means by whatsoever state I am in. Now, again, if you're going to keep from wandering from your place, by the way, you've already thought about it. You've already thought about that bird wandering from their nest, and you've already thought about the eggs being destroyed. You've already thought about the young being killed by another bird of prey. You've already thought about that mother bird that left the nest. You've already thought about some animal attacker. You've already thought about all the bad things, right? I'm trying to help you understand before we really get into that conviction, if you will just learn from the Bible what is right and what is truth, and you will believe that and get it in your heart, it's going to help you not to wonder. But if you will be content with whatsoever state you're in, that'll help you too. Contentment will help us. The condition, whatever the conditions are, we need to be content with those conditions. Some folks are born poor, and they're born into a poor family. And you just have to be content with that. Maybe you're a young person here and you say, well, I don't like being poor. Well, for now, maybe you're just going to have to be content with that. Amen? However you're born, maybe you were born deaf. Maybe you're born with eye problems, as I was. Maybe you have some other kind of a physical problem. Hey, listen to me. It is time that we as God's people quit griping, quit saying, woe is me, and just say, hey, listen to me. I'm going to have to be content with that. Because contentment is a strong way to keep from wandering. Nowadays, we have people say, well, we'll have a man say, well, I should have been a woman. No, if you were supposed to be a woman, God would have made you a woman. We have women today say, well, I was supposed to be a man. No, if God wanted you to be a man, God would have made you a man. He made you a woman. Now be content with that. The Bible says in the book of Romans, that's why there's so much depravity in our world, because people are not content and they wander away from what God intended for them. Content. It is whatsoever state. It's how we're born and the conditions we're born. By the way, location. You know, where you are born, be content. Well, I don't like Michigan. Be content with where God puts you. Well, I don't like the climate. Be content. It will help you not to wander. Proverbs 27:20. The Bible says here, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. You see why we need to be content? Do you see why it would be important that we not gripe and complain? Do you see why, young person, we say over and over again, hey, quit griping, quit complaining. Quit complaining about your home. Quit complaining about your parents. Be content. Because the battle that we fight is hell and destruction are never full. The eyes of man are never satisfied. It is always going to be a battle. And it is why the songwriter wrote, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Because our eyes are never satisfied. And constantly there is something pulling us, trying to get us to wander away from that which God has for us. And that's why we need to be content. We need to be content. Turn to 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. I'm still in the introduction, on my second point of the introduction. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. The Bible says here, but godliness with contentment is great gain. By the way, if it's great gain, you can do it. It is available. Amen. Godliness with contentment. Notice what he says. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You had no cell phone at birth. You did not have an iPod at birth. In fact, I want to say this, and I want to say it very tactfully. You were naked. Amen. That's exactly what God says. And watch what he says. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. See, we have nothing. We start with nothing. So if you have something, you're ahead. We start with nothing. See, this is a tough point right here, because it's why so many wander. It's why some of you look around at Christian service and the possibility of being a missionary, or the possibility of serving God in the ministry, and you look at staff and maybe their cars are not the nicest cars, and you look at other people involved in the ministry, and they don't have the kind of things that others may have, and you look at that and that's, boy, then you start to get a wandering eye, because contentment is to be thrilled with what we have. Contentment is to be thrilled with what God's given me. Contentment is to be thrilled with those things, such things that God has provided for me. Hebrews 13. Look at it real quick. Again, we're in the introduction. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, the Bible says here, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Hey, he says, I'll never leave you. Be content with what you have. Be content. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go out and get a job. I'm not saying you shouldn't work overtime when it's offered. I'm just saying this. I'm saying whatever opportunity, whatsoever state I am in, be content. Be content with that. You know, hey, boy, if I could have just gotten this, if I could have just gotten that. No, be content with what you have. Because when we're not content with what we have, then we wander. And we start thinking about wandering away from our nest. And that's when we get in trouble. You're here in full-time Christian service. Be content. Be content. Oh, you know, it could be better. No, be content with what you have. Contentment will save us a lot of heartache in the future. Since God commands us to be content with such things we have, it's possible to be content. It really is. And we should be content. I said in my introduction, I said, number one, we need conviction to keep us from wandering from our place. I said, number two, we need contentment to keep us from wandering from our place. And I say, number three, we need commitment to keep us from wandering from our place. Because you've already seen in Proverbs, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from her place. You can already tell it's not a good situation here. You can already tell that wandering is going to cause trouble. So we need conviction, we need contentment, and then number three, we need commitment. That's where we agree to something, we make a commitment because we choose to. Isn't that something? Amen. We make a commitment. For example, if we have a business, we make a commitment and we sign a contract for that in reference to that business. In other words, nobody makes us sign that contract. Nobody says you have to sign the contract. It's just, if I'm going to do this business, I've got to sign my name. And if I sign my name, I'm making a commitment. What's that going to do? It's going to help me not to wander. By the way, your mortgage company is very concerned. The car company, the finance company that finances your car, they're very concerned with you not wandering. And so they want you to make some kind of a commitment. In marriage, we make a commitment. We make vows. We'll have a young couple come up and we'll say, "Do you?" And she says, "Yes." And I'll say, "Do you?" And he says, "Yes." And they do. And they're agreeing. By the way, they sign a license too. But more than anything else, before God and before each other and before all the witnesses, they are saying, "I make my commitment." Why? Because it's going to help them in the future not to wander. That's why living together is out of hell. There is no commitment. And it's amazing how folks that live together, they'll get all bent out of shape because one or the other, "Well, they cheated." They didn't cheat. What do you mean they cheated? You have no commitment to them. You've not committed yourself. They're not committed to you. What are you talking about? They can walk anytime. But see, I made a commitment to my wife 33 years ago, and I said, "I'm not wandering. And so, again, a commitment. With a job, you have a contract. Why? So that there is a commitment there. By the way, with God, we make commitments. That's why the altar call is crucial. That's why maybe the most important thing we do here is have an altar call. Because it's making a commitment. Yes, we teach and preach the Bible so that there's conviction. So that we learn the truth, so we apply it to our lives, so it gets in our heart, so we say, hey, on this I stand, I will not move. And there's conviction. And we try to have the kind of a service and the kind of ministry where people are content. And where they learn how to be content, where they learn how to praise God for what they have. Instead of griping and complaining about what they don't have. Amen? Did you hear all the songs tonight? Just about everything was about praising God. Some of the folks that were playing and some of the folks that were singing, they've had some hard times. Are you listening tonight? But you know what? It's all about, I'm content with what God's done for me. I'm content with His blessings. I'm content with where He's put me. I'm content. And then, obviously, we need to close it all and tie everything together by having commitment with folks getting on an altar and saying, God, I will do this. By the way, nobody's ever made anybody make a decision. Every now and then a teenager, you know, they'll say, well, preacher, you know, I felt pressured into making that decision. But, so who held a gun to your head? Who put a knife to your back? No, you made the decision because you felt pressure from God. And God wanted you to make that decision. It was the right decision. Now you keep your commitment. Amen. Commitment. In our relationship with God, the vows that we make at the altar, commitment. And you know, you take those three things. You take conviction, and you take contentment, and you take commitment, and it will help you not to wander. If you are wandering tonight, teenager, if you are wandering tonight, sir, if you are wandering tonight, ma'am, it's a real good possibility. Those three things are out of whack in your life. And if those things are out of whack in your life tonight, and you see that, hey, I'm not so convicted about this, or I'm not content with this, or I'm not sure about these commitments, I'm going to tell you something. It won't be long and you'll be wandering from your nest. And you'll be in trouble. You'll be in big trouble. Those things are crucial to our lives as Christians. Notice the word here that is used as a bird that wandereth from her nest. You know, understand this. Satan knows our level of conviction. He knows what you believe. By the way, he knows what you say you believe, and he knows what you really believe. Amen? He knows our level of conviction. He knows our lack of contentment. He's seen you roll your eyes. He's heard you gripe about that teacher. He's heard you complain about that job. He knows about your level of contentment. Believe me. And he also knows not only about our level of conviction, our lack of commitment, but he also knows about our lack of contentment, and he also knows about our loss of commitment. He knows the vows you've broken. He knows all about that. And the songwriter wrote, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And that is how we are. And Satan knows that's how we are. Satan knows that's how our flesh is. And if we're not strong with our convictions, and if we're not strong with our contentment, and if we're not strong in our commitments, it won't be long and we will wander from our nest. That's the story of a church hopper. It is. It really is, and I'll explain that in a minute. But that's the story of so many lives. It's the story of teens who are out here doing absolutely nothing, who used to sit here. It's a story of families. It's a story of homes. It's a story of so many people who were prone to wander and didn't nail down their conviction, their contentment, and their commitment in their lives. You'll notice the word wander is used, and that's such an interesting word because when you think about wandering, you think about casually walking away from something. casually. It's wandering. It's not I'm determined to go. It's just all of a sudden, spontaneously. I didn't even plan this in the beginning. And you just wander away. The bird from her nest. Well, the bird loves her nest. She worked hard to build that nest. But then just wanders away. And it's like people who will walk away from their church. They'll wander away from their Bible. They'll wander away from their friends. They'll wander away from their home like the prodigal. They'll wander away from their spouse. They'll wander away from their vocation, God's will for their life. And I see it all the time. And they'll wander away from growing as a Christian. And all of a sudden, that's not so important anymore. And all of a sudden, that nest is not so important anymore. You don't see the eggs. You don't see the young. And you don't see your own safety. It's just, well, I'm going to wander away. Again, if you had conviction, that might keep you. If you had contentment, that might keep you. If you had commitment, that might help keep you as well. But you see people wander away all the time. That's why the pews aren't full. This building ought to be twice this size. Amen? It ought to be twice this size. I started to say these seats ought to be full. But in reality, over the years, this building ought to be twice this size and full. But so many wandered. Let me say this, and I'm still in the introduction, but I'm just about done with the introduction. Then I'm going to start preaching. But understand this, all right? I said wandering is casual. The word wander indicates casual. And remember that casual is the first part of the word casualty. And when you're casual about anything, you're not very far away from being a casualty. The devil will always focus on what you're going to wander to. Listen to me now. It's what I'm going to wander to. But tonight, I want to get your attention on what you're going to wander from. Because the devil won't let you think about that. You worked hard on your nest. You put a lot of time into your nest. You put a lot of effort into your nest. You put a lot of money into your nest. Somebody has invested in your nest. And the devil doesn't want you to even think about that. The devil simply wants to get your eyes on whatever that thing is out there that you're going to casually wander off to, away from the nest, according to the Bible, the man that wandereth from his place. Now I want you to think tonight about what you're going to wander from. I don't care. It doesn't matter what's out there. It might be big money. It might be all that you ever dreamed for. It might be, in and of itself, not even a bad thing. It's just, you got to leave your nest to go to it. It might be, you know, a teenager that, you know, I don't care what God wants. Here's what I want. You know, that's all you see. And guess what? That's not your place. That's not your nest. And I have several things that you're going to wander from. And I just want you to understand it. I want every adult, I want every teenager, I want every young person here. I want you to understand, when you wander from your place, and you wander from your nest, there's something you lose. And there's several things you wander from. Number one, you wander from your place. That ought to bother you more than anything in this world. It's your place. It's her nest. Hey, bird, you worked on it. You invested in it. You put everything into it that you had. I mean, all this time, all this effort. You went out, you gathered the sticks. You built this nest. Why would you leave this nest? Why would you go away from your nest? I don't understand that. You did it, or somebody did. When a young person leaves our Christian school to go do their own thing because they just can't handle the rules. Hey, do you understand? Somebody built that nest for you. That's your place you leave. Somebody invested. Somebody put time. Somebody put money. Somebody put love and prayer. And you want to wander casually away from the nest that is your place. And you leave your place. Are you listening? you leave your place. It is not your place once you leave it. Understand, people who wander all the time, they never have a full nest because they're always leaving their nest. They might build it halfway and then wander away from it. They never have a full life because they're always wandering away from the place that they were supposed to have. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20. Keep your place in Proverbs. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. You know what? We need to love our place. Are you listening? As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Love your place. You say, I'm not real excited. Oh, no. Fall in love with your place. Thank God for your place. And it always starts thanking God again. What did I say? Conviction, contentment, commitment. God, thank you for my place. I'm so thankful, Lord, for my place. By the way, you can be thankful at one time and all of a sudden things change and you get your eyes on something else. You've forgotten that thankfulness. You've forgotten why you were so excited about that place. You were excited once. You were excited on the altar when God revealed His place for you. Remember, you were excited. You told me. Amen. You told the youth director. Remember? You were excited. You told us. Why, some of you even, you stood up here and you were absolutely terrified and you said, I went to camp and I surrendered to do whatever God wants me to do. Amen. And you were terrified. Remember? Huh? But you know what? That was your place. And when you told me, your eyes sparkled. Hey, when you told me you're leaving your place, your eyes weren't sparkling. The joy was not there. Hey, you remember? You stood up here on a platform, and you stood in another church on a platform, and you looked at each other, and you giggled, and you laughed, and you were so excited. Hey, that's your place! You used to love that place. Amen. Some of you teen rebels, you used to sing with the first through third graders. And you'd sing about Jesus and your little dimples would all get all puckered up there when you sing and you'd be so excited. And maybe you were like the one kid in one of our kindergarten graduations. You rolled your tie and it flipped down. And you know what I'm talking about? And oh, you were so cute. And boy, oh, to sing in the choir, I'm so excited. And now we can't even get a holy grunt out of you in church. Huh? You know, you're wandering from your place. I wrote that down. I had to underline place just because I thank God for my place. I cherish my place. I don't want anybody to take me from my place. It's my place. Conviction, contentment, and commitment will help you stay in that place. And you need to get on your knees tonight and thank God for that place. You ought to thank God because when you change, and please do not miss this, when you change your place, you change everything. Everything changes. Stay with me now. Everything changes when you change your place. Everything. And if you're going to casually wander away from your place, it's your place, everything's going to change. Nothing will be the same. And as I say in a few minutes, nothing will be as it would have been. Number one, you wander from your place. Number two, you wander from your purpose. You wander from your purpose. A bird has a responsibility to that nest. This bird that is wandering from her nest, she has a responsibility to those eggs. She has a responsibility to the young that have hatched from those eggs. God gave her that purpose. To wander from it, listen to me, is unnatural. For the bird to wander away from her nest, that's unnatural. God put within her heart, God put there the desire to stay by my nest and take care of my responsibility. And when you casually wander from your nest, you wander from your purpose. God made everybody here with a purpose. Are you listening? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're His workmanship. And that means He has a purpose, just like your screwdriver has a purpose, sir. Amen. For me, it's to sit in a toolbox. That's its purpose. Your dishes, ma'am, they have a purpose. They need to be in their place. And you know, when we wander from our purpose. We're His workmanship. You grow up in church, go to a Christian school, go to all the teen meetings. Hey, that wasn't provided for you so you could grow up and live like the devil. That was to train you, to work on you so you could do something for God. Hey, folks didn't surrender a lot of their money to build all of this ministry so you could go out and live for the devil. Amen. God saw you. And God said, I have a purpose for them. But you know what? We just get casual, like a silly bird. And we wander from the nest. And we wander from our purpose. You know how many backslidden people I talk to? I talk to a lot of them. You know what I hear over and over and over? I just don't seem to have a purpose anymore. Well, that's because if a plate is hanging around with a bunch of tools, it probably doesn't seem to have a purpose anymore. You've left your place, and therefore you've left your purpose. I hear this all the time. I just don't feel fulfilled. A fellow one time, he was in his 60s. And he's in heaven now. Good man. I remember after preaching a message very similar to this, he came and he laid on the altar and wept. I believe he was probably in his 60s at that time, maybe late 50s. I went to him afterwards. I said, hey, I said, God really spoke to your heart. He started crying. He said, you know, preacher, he said, when I was just a teenager, God called me to preach. And I should have gone, but I didn't go. And he said, you know, I've lived a life. I've had a good life. And my kids have turned out, and many of them are doing very well and everything. But he said, you know, I know. Now, stay with me now. He said this. He said, I know I did not fulfill my purpose. I'm going to tell you, folks, you may think that is nothing. But when we stand before Jesus Christ, that's everything. Amen. You wander from your place. You wander from your purpose. Number three, you wander from your portion. A place fit for you. A place fit for them. The bird that is in its place, that is comfortable, it is safe, their nest, an area set aside by God who would protect them, who taught them, who built within that bird the instinct to build that nest there, their portion. Their portion. Who knows our needs better than God Almighty? Huh? I mean, seriously, who knows what we... It's just like putting a fish on the land. Instead, God put him in the water. It's like putting a bird in the water. Okay, build your nest there. No. God said, build your nest in the trees. And God has designed you and I. And He's put us in the place that fits us the very best. I'd be better off here. No, you're better off wherever God puts you. That's where you're always better off. You know, who knows best? Who knows you better than you know you? God does. But see, when we wander, we say, well, we know more than God. You don't. You wander from your place. You wander from your purpose. You wander from your portion. Number four, you wander from your promise. You ever read the promises in the Bible? And, you know, it should be very simple to understand that promises are contingent. Read God's covenants. Read God's deals that He makes with Israel. And for example, you will be saved if you call upon the name of the Lord. Right? God says, I promise you, I'll save you if you call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, what if I just read that? Can I be saved then? No. God says, I'll save you if you call upon the name of the Lord. Well, what if somebody goes through the plan of salvation with me? Does that save me? Nope, that won't save you. You need to call upon the name of the Lord. You see, God's promises are contingent. Read your Bible. God says you'll prosper if you obey. I was reading the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, so much. God says, I'm going to prosper you, but you need to obey. God says, I'm going to bless you, but you need to do right. Hey, you know, just use a little common sense. If a bird decides to move to the ocean, how's it going to do? Unless it's a penguin. Huh? If the fish decides that, I'd like to build my home on a mountain, how do you suppose it's going to do? It's going to be working at Long John Silver's. If the rabbit, or as the Bible says, the coney, who God says He prepared a place for them in the rocks, and they were, they're little rabbit-like creatures, and they could literally get in those rocks and in among the crevices there, and they have protection in those rocks. But if the rabbit decides that, I'm going to wander away from here, and decides, you know what? I want to build my house in the middle of the wolf's den. What sort of promise do you suppose God has for the coney? Then. You see what I'm saying? It always amazes me how wanderers want to claim the promises of God, but you've wandered away from them. Now, many of God's promises are still true to you, but I'm telling you, how do you expect blessing and prosperity when you go away from your place? How can we shake our fist in God's face and say, hey, I'm going to do what I want to do, but I sure hope you bless me? But we do it, don't we? We sure do. You wander from your place. You wander from your purpose. You wander from your portion. You wander from your promise. Number five, you wander from your provision. Psalm 37, verse 3. Look at it real quick. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Dwell in the land, verily thou shalt be fed. God says, I'm going to take care of you. I think about Elijah. And I love the story of Elijah. Elijah, he prays and asks God to bring a drought, and when the drought comes, Elijah gets thirsty. Isn't that good? I love that. I just love it. And so Elijah, he's thirsty, and God says, not only is there a drought, but because of the drought, there's no food. And now Elijah's not only thirsty, but his guts are growling. But God says, you know what? I'm going to take care of you, Elijah. And He says, I want you to go by the brook Cherith. There is a place I want you to go. You know what? That's Elijah's place. And God has commanded the ravens, and God says, the ravens will feed you there. Elijah says, why am I going to go down to the brook Cherith? By the way, the brook Cherith, he got water. and he got food. But it was the place that God chose for him to go. He may have said, like so many, well, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go to McDonald's. And guess what? He would have starved. Because he would have wandered from his provision. One of the key things about Bible college for my wife and I was a sack of groceries on our doorstep one day when we ran out of food, and a knock on the door, and there they were, and no one was around. I'm convinced, had I not been there, I would have missed out on that sack of groceries. It's bread in the back seat of the car after chapel. It's money in the little post office box when I went to check it. It's divine appointments because I was where I was supposed to be. And we gripe and complain. God didn't do anything. Hey, it's at your nest. That's where it is. Well, I haven't seen God do. It's at your nest that you wandered away from because you got your eyes on something else. Some of you girls, you got your eyes on some hunk of a guy who, by the way, has already deserted you. Some of you guys, you got your eyes on some pretty girl who already has dumped you. It's back at your nest where God said for you to be. It's your place where God told you to be. Well, God just never shows me anything. It's at your nest. It's back when you quit reading your Bible. It's back there. He was going to show you some things, but you quit. You don't read it anymore. There it is. Well, I didn't get my answer to prayer. Yeah, it's right there the day after you quit praying. That's where it is. But you got your eyes on something else and you decided I'm going to wander away from that. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave this God I love. And we wander away from our provision. And we say, what has happened to God? It's not God. It's us. Because we left our place, our purpose, our portion, our promise, our provision. Number six, we wandered from our protection. This bird that wanders from her nest will be exposed to those who capture birds, the fowlers. This bird will be exposed to the birds of prey that would eat her for a meal. Not only would this bird now be exposed to danger that it might not be exposed to before, but this bird has now exposed her young to danger and probably a certain death. Isn't that something? Dad, when you wander, what are you exposing your kids to? Mom, when you wander, what are you exposing those that you love so dearly? I think of that bird and I think about her over those eggs, hours and hours and hours, keeping them warm. I think about those eggs hatching and she's so excited about the young that she's been given. I just can't even imagine her seeing anything that would replace that. Can you? And yet, the Bible says, as the bird that wanders from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. And we wander from our protection, the protection of God, the protection of our church. Oh, you know, you may sit here today, well, I don't care about this church. Hey, let me tell you, there's protection in this church. God promises to protect His church. He loves His church and gave Himself for it according to the book of Ephesians. you and your young leave the protection. Rules protect, but some of you are so anxious to get out from under them. And all the only reason they're there is to protect you. Well, I just don't understand this rule. The only reason there is a rule, somebody tried to do something. We have dumb, you say, that's a dumb rule. Well, we had to write a dumb rule to deal with dumb people. Honestly. I told you our handbook at Faith Baptist Academy. In the handbook, one of the rules in the handbook is you will get 25 demerits if you walk on the roof of the building next door. Why would anybody write that rule? Because some idiot tried it. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. Rules are, you know, they're there to protect. Do you know that everybody, stay with me now, I'm just about done. I got that much left. Okay, it's written real tiny, but no, it couldn't be because I couldn't see it. Hey, you know, listen. All of us, one time or another, have been spared by a rule. I mean, literally, your life was saved by a rule. Somewhere.
I just don't like.
And see, the devil, he gets your eyes on, I don't know what out there has no rules. Had a punk teen one time. He said, I don't like all the rules at this school and this church. I'm going to go join the Marines. Makes me tired. Well, I'm not that tired. And then we wonder, because somehow we got focused on anything goes out here. I can do what I want to do. I can do my own thing. I can, and then it's not long and you're saying words like this, I never thought I would do that. Brother Mark was talking about someone, I won't mention any names or even any close reference, but young girl dying of a drug overdose. She didn't plan that. She didn't, as a little five-year-old, a little elementary school student, just she didn't say, well, when I finally turn 18 and I become an adult and I can make my own choices, I'm going to die of a drug overdose. She didn't plan that. I'm going to tell you, it's what happens when you get your eyes out here and you get away from your place that God has for you. It's when you say, I'm going to leave my nest. Well, remember, around that nest is protection. I think the thing I pray more than anything for you is I pray, God, please put a hedge of protection around our people. But the hardest thing for me to deal with as a pastor, and it always has been, is when people walk out from that circle and hedge, and like with a machete, they carve their way out of that hedge of protection to go out and do their own thing. And you're wandering from your protection. And number seven, you wander from your prosperity. And here's what I think of. I think of what might have been. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, hey, mama bird, what would have happened to your young had you stayed? What would have happened to them? But instead, a falcon came in, a hawk came in, and devoured them while they were little. You wander from your prosperity. What might have been? What might have been when we wander around aimlessly and miss church on Sunday morning? Parents, I wonder what might have been had your child been at Sunday school. Why, no, there are many things that are so important on Sunday morning. But I just wonder what might have been if we'd stayed in our place. By the way, this is your church. We have Sunday school. Amen. Pastor believes we should have Sunday school. The whole church believes that pretty much. If we voted on it, I think we'd vote Sunday school to stay. But you don't think it's important that your child be here? Huh? I just wonder what might have been. Honestly, I always do. Had they just gone through the whole program like it's designed to go through. Teen meeting, if they just go through the whole program like it's designed to go through. Master clubs, if they just gone through the whole program. You know, I just wonder what might have been, how it could have been. You know, teaching children, well, that's not important. But it is important. It is important. Just two more things real quick. Joshua 1 verse 7. Look what it says here about prosperity. Familiar verses, Joshua 1 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left." Notice what he says, "that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." By the way, how can they keep the law if they don't know it? It's kind of what we do in Sunday school. So you're really on that Sunday school thing. You know what? Some kids aren't going to be able to come back to our school because of it. So it does bother me. It offends me deeply. It really does. Well, just lessen the rule. Yeah, and pretty soon we lessen all the rules. Pretty soon you can be a drug addict and come to our school, right? Well, preacher, you're going too far. I take it very seriously. I think Sunday school is more important than Monday school. Amen. I really do. I believe that with all my heart. I think Sunday school is more important than any day of school. Well, you're a pastor. Yeah, and pastors might know something about spiritual things, and they might know something about prosperity. Sunday school is important. I wish you'd make it important. You know, I wish you'd quit pulling your children and yourself away from the nest, the place that God has for them. There is a Sunday school teacher that prepared a lesson to help them so that they can do and observe to do according to all the law so that they can prosper. Why do we sell our kids short? "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Well, I think you have to go to church to... No, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But I got news for you. You have to go to church to prosper as a Christian. You have to go to church to have the blessing of God and the hand of God on your life. You're not going to wander from the place that God has for you. You say, "I'm mad, I'll just go somewhere else." And you're wandering from the place that God has for you. Because you're hearing from a man that loves you. And I'm not just talking to hear myself talk. I'm talking because I'm very concerned that we wander from prosperity. I don't know what God wants for your child, but I know this. If they're not in their place, they're going to miss it. Last thing, number 8. I said, number 1, you'll wander from your place. Number 2, you'll wander from your purpose. 3, wander from your portion. 4, wander from your promise. 5, wander from your provision. 6, wander from your protection. 7, wander from your prosperity. And then number 8, and this is so, so sad. You wander from your peace. Let me tell you, I counsel a lot of birds. And I don't know of anybody who's left the nest that hadn't said to me, "I just don't have peace." There's a reason. One more passage and we're done. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." By the way, again, remember keep. Keepers, guards. The peace of God, it guards your heart and your mind. And then a verse I've had many people memorize that are having thought problems. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, but watch verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. And then you ought to circle the next word. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And when you wander from your place, you wander from your peace. Because God said, you know what? Just do what you've heard, what you've seen, what you've learned, what you've received. Now you do it. Well, I got a better idea. And you just lost your peace. Well, I'm looking over here and this thing, and you're about to leave your peace. Oh, let me tell you, peace is wonderful. Peace is so wonderful. You're going to find it in your nest. I have people constantly. You know, I got away from God here. I did this there. Sometimes they won't admit it, but they tell me things, and it's obvious they've gotten away from God. And it's not long, and they just say, you know, I just don't have peace. What's back at your nest? That's where the peace is. Moms and dads, it's going to be at the nest. Huh? What has got your eyes away from the things of God? What's trying to pull you? Okay, get convicted. Get convicted. Amen. Be content and make commitments. Do not be afraid of this altar. This altar will help you not to wander. I promise you this. How many times I have been prone, we're all prone to wander, but how many times the pull to wander has been there? But God, I remember I told you that I was not going to do that. Oh, God, I remember at an altar I said I would give this. Oh, God, I remember at an altar I promised you. Huh? And boy, it'll strike down that desire to wander. I know the devil's got some things over there that look pretty good to our flesh. But to your spirit, they're going to ruin you. Stay in your nest. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder how many would say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. If I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. Raise your hand all over. I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. I am saved. I know it. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I wonder if there's someone here tonight who'd say, preacher, I am not sure. I do not know for sure whether I'm going to heaven or not. If I died, I do not know if I'm saved. Please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Raise your hand right now. God's speaking to your heart. Anyone at all, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I do not know I'm going to heaven. How many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I know that. No doubt about it. But God is speaking to my heart about something tonight. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? All over. Slip it up. Slip it up. God's speaking to my heart as a Christian. As a Christian. Father, bless the invitation. Help us to make the decisions we ought to make. And I pray, God, you'll help someone to be convicted tonight. I pray you'll help someone to be content tonight. And I pray that you'll help us to be committed tonight so that we don't wander from our place. Help us to love our place, to cherish our place, to thank you for our place, and bless the invitation. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.